This is an iHeart podcast.
Well, you know what we're talking about. The coming Trump arrest, if there is one. We'll talk about that. What should you do about it? We have guests coming on. Yes, we'll hit some other things, but that's going to be the central theme tonight on I'm Right. All right. Take a breath. Take a deep breath. We have a lot we're about to get into that's going to be different than everything else you've seen and heard when it comes to the Trump indictment, coming Trump arrest, and everything else. And a lot of this is going to make you feel good. A lot of it's going to make you feel bad. Some of it might offend you, but it's going to be a lot. All right? So just buckle up. Let's get through this. We'll get through this together. Trump put out the message on his Truth Social that New York DA Alvin Bragg plans on arresting him on Tuesday. Now, quick side note, something you probably already know by now. Alvin Bragg is one of 75 DAs across the United States of America that are funded and backed by George Soros. George Soros, that evil communist piece of trash who should have his American citizenship revoked and should be deported from our nation, has spent millions and millions and millions of dollars, and he brags about this publicly, to elect district attorneys who will do what? Why does the communist gain power? Anyone who watches this show already knows the answer to that. He only gains it for two reasons. Why? What's he do with power? The communist rewards his friends and punishes his enemies. George Soros put those DAs into office to make sure they would turn violent criminals loose, thus causing more chaos and angst, which always aids the communist, and so they would prosecute the political enemies of America's communists. That's why Alvin Bragg is there. And that's why you should be a lot of things today. Maybe you're sad about your country. Maybe you're mad about what they're doing to Trump. Maybe you're mad and sad. Maybe you're a lot of things. But what you should not be under any circumstances is surprised. You should have seen all of this coming. Jeez, I told you it was coming last year. Remember, I'm not your mommy. It's not my job to powder your butt for you and tell you everything will be okay. I am America's daddy, so I'm about to tell you how it is. They're going to indict Donald Trump. They're almost undoubtedly going to indict Donald Trump and arrest Donald Trump. And the chances are not zero that that arrest of Donald Trump comes on television. Now, how did I know that's where this was going? Why should you have known where this was going? Well, this is going to be a little dark, and I don't think I've ever shared this with you in this amount of depth. And if it's a little bit down, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to give you the honest truth of what I see and where we're going. You ready for this? We have DAs like Alvin Bragg. All right, you know that already. Alvin Bragg's piece of trash. This isn't justice. This isn't... Okay, all right. We got all that. I know that. All that stuff's true. But you need to step out of this country you used to live in and step out of this world of make-believe and step into the real world. Like back when I predicted that they were going to arrest Trump and do it on camera, you know what I got a ton of? What's he even done wrong? That's not true. What about the First Amendment? Okay. We are not dealing with America of 2020. This is a whole new America than even 3 years ago. And we're definitely not dealing with an America of 2000. I'm trying to bring it home how fast things have changed for you. You are dealing with communists who for decades have dreamt of burning this country to ash and locking up all their political enemies. These people never wake up a single day in their lives the way you wake up and say, well, I wonder what the Constitution says about this. Well, I shouldn't do this. It wouldn't be right. They don't even think in those terms. Those thoughts never cross their mind at all. And frankly, at this point in time, if you're still saying things like that, I find you childlike and naive. And it's time for you to slap awake and wake up and realize where we are. You're not only dealing with full-blown communists now, you can't possibly comprehend, and maybe you don't want to comprehend, how many Alvin Braggs are graduating from the elite law schools in America today, this year. How many are graduating from medical school this year? It's not where we are. It's where we're going. You think this is bad, and it is. This is but a taste of what the future of America will be. Today, there are 75 Alvin Braggs in America. Tomorrow, there are 7,500 coming soon to a town near you, unless you win local elections and fortify in your red area like you should be doing. Today, there are Alvin Braggs in your hospital, your nurses won, maybe your doctors won. Tomorrow, they're all Alvin Bragg. We are heading into a period of time where we have to understand logistics, reinforcements, and things like that. And this is what I mean. Do you know how many people graduate college every single year on average in this nation? 4 million of them. 4 million of them. And while the 2 million Republicans, if there even are that many, are graduating college and going into engineering, or I want to do this, or I want to do that, or maybe I'm going to start my own business, the 2 million communists are going into law. They're running for office. They're taking over your school board, your city council, your district attorney's office. They're going to be your local judge. Maybe they'll even sit on your jury one day. And all of these people believe you should be imprisoned by who you are, for who you are. It has nothing to do with what you do or didn't do, but he didn't do anything wrong. What are you talking about? What does that matter at all? If you think that matters, you don't understand at all what time it is and where you are. We are going into a dark place. And this is why I have told you over and over and over again to leave, flee your blue city and get to a red area and then become an activist and dig in because you have fortifications to make because the communist hordes are coming. Run for your school board. Run for your city council. You go be the local judge. You go take over the local library because they're coming. I promise you they are. And that brings me to this. And again, you probably find this offensive, but we're going to have a real hard talk about something Trump said publicly that I have a major problem with. Before we get to that, I want to do a little setup for this. I want you to think long and hard about the January 6th political prisoners. Donald Trump's biggest fans. They showed up at his request to the Capitol. They did. Showed up at his request. And when they showed up, the American law enforcement arm, because they're all weaponized against you now, again, full of committed communists who believe you should be arrested for what you believe, the feds were obviously there. They obviously instigated and entrapped the entire thing. They've since taken 1,000 of these poor people and locked them away in cages while announcing publicly that they're going to do it to 1,000 more. Listen to Julie Kelly tell you the story of Matthew Perna before we have a hard talk about Trump.
So Matthew Perna is a 37-year-old man from Pennsylvania. He went to the Capitol. He went to Trump's speech, went to the Capitol that day. He was outside the building. He did not carry a weapon. He did not assault a police officer. He didn't vandalize anything. He left. I believe he was in the building for about 20 minutes on the east side where the doors had been opened. He went back, made a video, went home. At that point, from January 6, 2021 onward, his life was utterly destroyed. He turned himself into the FBI after he realized, you know, what was happening, that this was considered a crime scene. He cooperated with the government. And finally, in December of 2021, he pleaded guilty to 4 misdemeanors and a felony obstruction charge, thinking he could go on with his life. His girlfriend left him. He lost his business. He was alienated by his community. He didn't even want to leave his own home. This is a college graduate who ran a successful business, a patriotic American who traveled the world to teach English to children in other countries. He pleaded guilty, thinking he would spend maybe a few weeks, a month or so in prison. The government came back, Matthew Graves' office, the DC U.S. attorney, instructed his Matthew's defense attorney that he could serve years in prison. On February 25th of 2022, last year, Matthew Perna could take no more. He hanged himself in his garage to end the government's torture against him and his family. He is one of at least three men charged in the January 6th investigation who have taken their lives. And I'll tell you, Jesse, after I reported on Matthew's story, the toughest story I've ever covered with January 6th, what's even more sad, infuriating, heartbreaking is I heard from so many January 6th defendants who said they had considered doing the same thing because they are considered traitors and domestic terrorists by their government, their neighbors, and even their family members.
You ready to be offended? Because you're about to be. I don't care. I'm not your mom. I don't care about powder in your butt for you. You ready to be offended? The January 6th political prisoners have been locked in cages for 2 years. Many of them have public defenders, as you've seen. Some of them have even taken their own lives. They've lost their careers, their reputations. Many have lost their spouses. Their families have broken up. And do you know that Donald Trump didn't pay any of their legal fees? And maybe right now you're sitting there saying, yes, he did. No, he didn't. His PAC paid for some of the legal stuff for the January 6th commission witnesses, not the poor schlups rotting in jail right now. And I'm not sitting here saying Donald Trump had an obligation to do that. But when Donald Trump took to True Social and he announced that he was about to be arrested by Alvin Bragg, he finished not only one post, but another post by telling people to protest. Protest. Go protest. Protest. Well, the last time people showed up to protest on behalf of Donald Trump, he went to Mar-a-Lago for 2 years and they rotted in a gulag. So kindly don't. Don't show up in New York City to protest on Donald Trump's behalf. You can be mad. You can fly your Trump flag. You can protest in your red area. You can post on social media. But if you show up in New York City with communist DAs, communist cops, communist FBI, communist judges, and communist jurors ready to throw you in federal prison for the next 10 years after they entrap you that day, frankly, you're so stupid you deserve to go to prison. And shame on him for abusing his followers. Because anytime you have followers, no matter who you are, you're going to have a certain percentage of them who will lay down in traffic for you, and they trust what you say, and they'll do what you command them to do. And a certain percentage of his followers are going to obey this command. And you know where he'll be? Nowhere while they rot. Oh, I forgot. He did raise some money for the January 6th political prisoners. Right about the time he announced he was running for president again, about 15 minutes ago. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Treat your followers better, no matter who you are. No matter who you are. Celebrity, politician, TV guy, radio. Your followers demand some deserve some respect. Don't you dare go to some blue communist hellhole and protest for anybody. Not Trump, me, nobody. Nobody. Stay out. All right. We're moving on. We'll talk to Cernovich about this next. God, it makes me mad. Normal people, regular people, forgotten about, tossed in the trash. Now it's protest! No. No, not again. Get caught up in that again. I need to vent. See? This is why I need my Mantis X. This is why I need my Mantis X system. Because it's how I vent stress. I have unhealthy ways that I vent stress and healthy ways. If I want to do an unhealthy route, I'll go buy a bottle of bourbon and sip on it. If I want to do something healthy, I will either work out or I will practice with my Mantis X system. Because Mantis X allows me to practice right here in the studio. During commercial break, I can pick up my Glock 19 that's sitting right there, and I can have drills. I can have feedback for practicing with my weapon. Do you know how much better you get when you practice with Mantis X and how fast you get better? In 20 minutes, you'll be a better shooter, and you do it without firing a shot. Dry fire practicing in your home. The Green Berets use it. Go Go to MantisX.com and get one today. I need it right now. MantisX.com. I'm going to go practice with mine. We'll be back.
We are not involved in this, won't be involved in this. I have no interest in getting involved in some type of manufactured circus by some Soros DA, okay? He's trying to do a political spectacle. He's trying to virtue signal for his base. I've got real issues I got to deal with here in the state of Florida. We're obviously shutting down CBDC, which is important. We've got so many things pending in front of the legislature. I've got to spend my time on issues that actually matter to people. I can't spend my time worrying about things of that nature. So we're not going to be involved in it in any way. I'm fighting for Floridians, and I'm fighting back against Biden. That's what I do every single day.
Okay. We actually haven't talked about Ron DeSantis and his response today. Mike Cernovich, creator of Hoaxed, and also he has a Substack, which you should go check out. He and I actually see this differently. Mike, I personally think Team DeSantis made a huge mistake by making a statement at all. I think the whole Team Trump, make a statement, where's Ron's statement, was obviously just them goading him into making a statement so they could mock him for the statement and make it about DeSantis. You think his statement sucked, though. The floor is yours.
That last paragraph is what did him in. Everything else before that was great, but you have to know, as you know and I know, every time you talk, how are they going to clip this? And that last paragraph makes him look like he's capitulating. So the reason we disagree is actually interesting, because maybe I'm more of a cynic than you, which I did not think was possible. So hear me out. When is Ron DeSantis ever going to have an opportunity to say, oh, poor little Trump, he's being prosecuted. Let me, someone who won re-election in a record landslide, let me make sure that Trump's due process rights are protected. Let me make sure that everything is on the up and up and everything is clear. That would have enraged Trump. That would have been what people of our age and generation would call big timing, right? We all know that guy where you say, oh, I remember I went on a vacation one time to Paris, and they'll go, oh yeah, but I stayed at a better hotel, and have you ever had this, or had you ever had that? So this was DeSantis' opportunity to say, look, Donald Trump is a Floridian. I am the governor. I will ensure that his due process rights are protected. And what's Trump gonna do? He would be furious. Now, here's what you gotta understand. The MAGA influencers are getting under the skin of DeSantis and his little online army. And I'm, of course, in the middle, right? Because I'm friends with people on both sides, and they're snipping at each other. And it's gotten pretty dirty. So, for example, DeSantis was not allowed as a college-age man to go to the party of a college freshman-age women because now we're the left. And if you're doing that, of course, you can't do that anymore, which is bizarre considering Trump's was in a Playboy video with people of similar age. But so that whole thing is stupid. The DeSantis people have therefore lost the plot, which is you don't issue a statement to pander or placate the bad faith attacks by the MAGA influencers. You issue a statement to show that I'm the governor, actually. Let me remind you that I have the power here, and I'm the governor, and I'll make sure that I protect poor, helpless Donald Trump. But that's why I'm more cynical than you.
No, I don't think so. And I don't disagree with that at all. I guess my thinking on it was this. I have watched, and I know you've watched this, you talk about this all the time. I've watched Republican after Republican, it's virtually all of them, from Trump on down. They'll dance when the media says dance, and meaning, hey, denounce this. Do you denounce white supremacy? Why haven't you denounced this? Do you denounce this? And Republicans will do this all day long. And even when they get annoyed, they'll frustratedly say, yes, I denounce it. Can we just change the subject like some hissy fit little teenage girl? He should have known, Team DeSantis should have known, that the Team Trump people were obviously going to use whatever he said to make this story about DeSantis and somehow glob some of this stain onto him. I don't disagree actually with what you just said about what DeSantis should have said. I just argue the only way to win that game is not to play.
Oh no, the way you win that game is you position yourself as the national leader taking on the Soros DAs, which is what he did. The whole first part of his statement, amazing. he leaves that first part of the statement, which is, hey, let's talk about these selective prosecutions. Let's talk about the Bolshevik tactics. Let's talk about the Stalin show trials. Leave that last part open, because then what the media would say is, oh, so Governor DeSantis, are you saying that you will not allow Trump to be handed over? Let them start that fight. And now you're at the center of it, and you're not arguing about Trump. You're arguing against the Soros DAs, and you're saying, why is it that anti-Semitic criminals are allowed to run wild in New York? Why is it that the left claims that they support bail reform and defunding the police, but now all of a sudden they don't? They want violent criminals to attack you. So Trump is a pawn in your game if you're Ron DeSantis. If you're a king, right? If you're a king, and that's how you have to think if you want to win. If you're Ron DeSantis, you want to be the king. So then you have to make Trump your pawn. How do you do that? Well, now it's you versus these Soros lunatics in New York. And then when they go, DeSantis, so you're saying then that you will not turn him over. Let the media play into that. And then you go, hey, why don't you interview Alan Bragg and ask him why all these anti-Semitic lunatics are putting people on stretchers and paralyzing people, and you don't even care. And then now you've won the positioning. And then the Trump people are going to snip at you or whatever. But you're talking about a different conversation. So everything in life, from mindset in your own life, the narrative driving to positioning, is how is it that I get my message out, and how is it that I pick fights that I can win? This is a fight that DeSantis can win. So he's not picking a fight for Trump. He's keeping Trump out of it. So when they keep badgering him about, well, you're claiming then that you're not going to hand over Trump, you say, look, we're talking about Soros DAs here. Show me your coverage of the Soros DAs. And then you've elevated that conversation, and you've made that the discussion. That's the positioning that you want to take.
All right. I had some very harsh words in the opening of the show, and I've had them online for Trump and his calls to protest. I don't care about anything else he said, or I shouldn't say that. I didn't have any problem with anything else he said, and he is being treated obviously wrongly and has been treated wrongly. My problem, Mike, is when you're anybody of influence, this applies to you, me, an actress, whoever, I don't care, you are going to have a certain percentage of people who follow you who are lunatics or idiots, and they're going to do things you call for them to do. When you publicly call for people to protest, as Donald Trump has now done twice, and this is after the last people who protested for you were left to rot in jail, I find that to be abusive of your followers. No different than me coming on here every single night and telling everyone on TV to go slap someone in the face. Is everyone going to do it? No. But one lunatic's going to do it, and then he's going to find himself in trouble, and that would be my fault. I have a problem with it.
Well, two is, one, you don't want to try to take responsibility for what people who watch anyone does, because I'm currently dealing with a stalker right now who isn't a fan, it's just a random stalker. And because once you reach a certain level of notoriety, you get random stalkers where you're thinking, what is this even going on here? So you don't definitely, I don't think people are responsible for what their people who watch them do, because you do catch a lot of people who are not completely sane, and you can't be held accountable for that. You do, I think, want to take a position of trying to steer people who read you or watch you into a good direction, right? And that was one of my problems with Trump's statement here, is that telling people to go protest after January 6th is not steering people in a good direction, right? Because everybody now is upset that they're saying conservatives don't have a right to protest. And the answer is no, you don't have a right to protest in Soros County. I don't know what to tell you. Do you need to, you know, you, Jesse, Martyr Maid, the Mystery Grove Press, there's all these people talking about Stalin tactics, Bolshevik tactics. Has anybody read the stuff that you link to, or the books that you talk about, or the books that I talk about, or the articles Martyr Maid writes, where we're saying, look, it was the code of the thief. I was retweeting the Solzhenitsyn stuff today to remind people that under the Bolsheviks and under Stalin, if you, a law-abiding citizen, carried a knife, you would go to prison. But if the thief carried a knife, they wouldn't go to prison, under the reasoning that, well, that's what thieves do. So that's where we are right now. And I feel very frustrated that people are still acting under the very childish mindset of, well, we should be able to. Yeah, that's cute. We should be able to do a lot of things. I shouldn't have all these gray hairs from the vicious lies and smears and black magic sent my way. Great, great. That's cute. You know, what does that get you? What does it get you, right? And nobody wants to accept the time we're in. So I would say, read more Jesse Kelly, read more Martyr Maid, read Michael Malice's The White Pill. you and Michael Malice were talking about Cannibal Island. So there's all this stuff just people just don't know. People, and I think even this applies to Ron DeSantis. People do not know the peril that we're in and what the Bolsheviks want to usher in and what Soros and Alvin Bragg and all these people want to bring to America. You should feel not despair, but you should feel a chill down your spine knowing that they want to send your kids to, literally, this is what the Bolsheviks did. They want to send your daughters to an island where criminals will cut them up alive. This happened. This is not me making stuff up or being dramatic. People can look into all of this stuff. That's what they want to usher in. And you want to cry? What's that going to get us, right? So the answer to this is people have to be smart. And going into Soros County on the orders of Trump, who, by the way, this is the second protest he organized. So you're following him in a pattern, which is, oh, Trump's neck is on the line. Suddenly you need to protest. But when McConnell wouldn't give the funding for the wall, when Trump is capitulating to Paul Ryan, there were no calls to occupy the Capitol like AOC did under Pelosi. None of that happened. So don't protest when they won't build the wall. Don't protest when they won't fund border security. Don't protest for any of that. But now that I'm in trouble for engaging in, you know, it's not illegal, but it ultimately engaging in conduct that he shouldn't have been engaging in, now go to Soros County and be sure to protest. How in the world are you looking out for your people? So, yeah, I don't agree with thinking that you're responsible for what nut jobs who watch you interpret what you're saying you do. Because a lot of times, too, this happened, I think, to David Letterman. A woman got a restraining order on him because she said he was talking to her through the TV. So we don't want to say that you're – I believe it was him or someone like that. And I think the same thing happened to Tucker Carlson, where somebody went in and said he's talking to me from the TV and he's, you know, sending brainwaves to harm me. We don't want to go there. But we do want to ask ourselves, do you want the people who read you and watch you to live better lives? I hope so. And is telling them to go to Soros County fulfilling that?
Yeah. Mike Cernovich, go read his Substack. Thank you, brother.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Now, we're moving on here. Why do I know who Dylan Mulvaney is? I shouldn't know who he is. We're going to talk to Corey DeAngelis about some good news, some school choice news, and Dylan here in a second. Before we get to that, let us get to this. Okay, so we got some hard times here. Some harder times coming. There's no question about that. What are we going to do? Suck our thumb? Quit? Can't do that. Why don't we make ourselves stronger and better? Why don't we use this time to prepare ourselves for the times to come? What are your testosterone levels, fellas? Ladies, let me ask you something. How's your energy at 3 or 4 in the afternoon? You should be on chalk supplements. Natural herbal supplements. No more big pharma filth. No more of that. Natural things in your body making you stronger, healthier. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. You think that might help with the times to come? Go to chalk.com, look at everything they have. They have a huge selection of everything. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off subscriptions, right? So get a subscription. 90 days, you'll see how you feel. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
City chat. I live at the Plaza Hotel, which is huge and wonderful and très elegant, especially at Christmas time.
Joining me now, my friend Corey DeAngelis, who's doing some really outstanding work out there in the education system, putting in the work. He's a senior fellow, American Federation of Children. Corey, all right, you know what disappoints me the most, brother? That I know who that person is. That's Dylan Mulvaney, some person with obvious mental health issues, and yet he's being celebrated by the system so much that I now know who this person is. I should never have known this person exists, but I do, Corey.
Yeah, I mean, it's ludicrous, and it's because of the schools are focused more on indoctrination as opposed to education. This is a great argument for school choice and why we're seeing a wildfire sweeping the nation for a universal school choice revolution. 5 states in just the past 2 years have passed universal school choice for all families. And I think it's beyond the old arguments for school choice, where it was more based on kids in failing schools based on low standardized test scores in math or reading. Families have woken up to another dimension of school quality that's much more important than whatever can be captured on a standardized test, which is whether the school's curriculum aligns with your values. And we're seeing too much indoctrination happening in the classroom that's getting parents mobilized to push for real change, which is to allow the funding to follow the student to education providers that best meet their needs and align with their values as well.
Corey, can you give us a heads up? What do these laws look like? And what I mean when they look, what do they look like? What does it mean for the parent? All right, I'm a parent, Corey. I've got 2 boys, 12 and 14. If I want to send them to private school, I've got to pay for it here in the state of Texas. How will my life change?
Yeah, so in the current system, we spend about $16,000 per student per year in the government-run school system. And with the school choice initiative, mostly in the form of education savings accounts, you can still choose to send all of that funding and your student to the government-run school if you want. If you like your public school, you can keep your public school. But if not, you can take a portion of that funding to an education savings account, and you could use it for private education, such as tuition and fees. You could use it for micro schooling or homeschool curriculum or any approved education provider of your choosing. So it's the purest concept of the money following the child. It is the only way, I would argue, to truly secure parental rights in education. And we're seeing so much policy victories this year. This year, we had 3 states already go all in on school choice. Just the other day, Florida, they passed the universal school choice bill, House Bill 1, backed by the speaker. All Republicans voted in favor, 83-27 vote. Even 4 Democrats voted in favor of that bill. So the dominoes are falling, and there's not a dang thing the teachers unions can do about it. And it's absolutely glorious, mostly because it's their own fault. We should really thank Randy Weingarten and the teachers unions for overplaying their hand by putting too much politicization into the classroom and by fighting to keep the schools closed, which really woke parents up all across the country.
Corey, you said a portion of the money. I'm guessing you said that because it's going to change from state to state. But are there states out there where I get to keep all my tax money and just spend it on my child how I want? Wouldn't that be a concept?
Yeah, the reason I said portion is because these are bills passed at the state level, and state funding for education is only about typically half of total funding. So the public school districts get to keep the local funding and the federal funding. We're only talking about the state funding that follows the child. So when the defenders of the status quo start to shriek about the dismantling of public schools and how this will defund the public schools, they conveniently leave out that the public schools get to keep thousands of dollars per student for kids they're no longer educating each year, even when they lose to their competition. Just imagine if you stopped shopping at Walmart and you wanted to go to Trader Joe's, and Walmart got to keep half of your grocery funding each year. That wouldn't make sense, but that would be a good deal for Walmart. I would argue that school choice is similarly a good deal for the public schools, that they get to keep all that funding. They actually end up with higher per student revenues and expenditures. Just mathematically, if you're keeping a lot of the money, you'll lose the student. Per student in the public schools, they end up with higher funding levels. So they shouldn't scream about defunding when we talk about school choice. And by the way, the money doesn't belong to their institutions anyway. So school choice doesn't defund public schools. If anything, public schools defund families. And school choice initiatives simply return the money to the hands of their rightful owners, or at least the intended beneficiaries of the funding.
Corey, I love this video out today from this Georgia rep, because so often now the elected representatives in this country are either so stupid or so communist that they accidentally say the quiet part out loud. Joe Biden does this all the time, but that's just because his brain is melted. This lady's probably just dumb. Either way, I appreciate her honesty.
I see access as a problem. I see parents being able to direct their child's education, and they are already in the lower 25 percentile, meaning a lot of those parents did not finish high school and could not finish their own education. I am extremely concerned that we would put money in their hands and that entire piece of life in the hands of parents who are not qualified to make those decisions, and they don't have the money to put in the difference that their child would need to attend a private school if there were one in there already in their I am for private schools. All of my children graduated from private schools, but I am not for them if we take public school dollars and use them for private schools. We paid for it, and we were able to.
Corey, did that woman just say that she thinks parents don't know what's best for their children because they're too stupid and didn't graduate high school? Because that's sure what it sounded like she said.
That's pretty much what she said, and she followed up with, look, I sent my kids to private school. It's essentially, but I paid for it. It's a let them eat cake moment. Marie Antoinette would be super proud of her. But it's funny because the same party, Democrats, typically want the taxpayer to pay for everything else. But when it comes to K-12 education, it's all of a sudden they adopt this pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality. But when it comes to higher education, they want free college. When it comes to pre-K, they want the government to pay for, or the taxpayer to pay for that as well. It's because the teachers' unions own the Democratic Party. Randy Weingarten, who I just mentioned, over 99.9% of the campaign contributions from American Federation of Teachers went to Democrats in 2022. So it makes it puts it, the Democratic elected officials like this one in a very tough position when it comes to taking these votes, because the power dynamics just shine a light on their logical inconsistencies that they must put forth, because they have to listen to whatever the teachers union wants, and that's a monopoly. And so they start to talk like they're elitist and that the poor parents can't choose. Perhaps they also deeply believe that, and that would be even more problematic. She was able to choose for her kids. She made that choice. Why can't poor kids families make that choice for their kids? And it's actually worse than that. With this clip, it's like multiple levels of ridiculousness. It's the elitism, but then also she's admitting that the school system failed those parents, and then turning around and saying, well, then that means we got to condemn their children to the same failing school system. If it failed the parents, that's an argument for giving those parents even more choice so that their kids can escape the intergenerational poverty that is caused by the government school system. That's an argument for school choice, not against it.
Corey DeAngelis, Corey, keep doing what you're doing, man. It's inspiring.
Thank you so much.
You bet. All right. Let's talk about China a little bit. You ready for that? Before we get to that, let's get to this. You know, you have choices. We talk a lot about school choice. You have choices. You have some choices that you don't even know you have. Like, maybe you think, Jesse, I don't have a choice. I'm stuck in my timeshare. Got to keep paying my annual fees. No, you're not. I know they told you you are. I know they've made it sound very legal and technical. No, sorry. With the clause in paragraph A, you're not. Lone Star Transfer has heard all that for a very, very, very long time. They will get you legally and permanently out of your timeshare. I know, because they're successful 99% of the time. You're one phone call away from getting out. You have choices. Call them. 844-310-2646. 844-310-2646. Or LoneStarTransfer.com, all right? We'll be back. That kind of seems like a big deal, right? I know we have all these other things going on, but that seems like a really big deal. Joining me now, Lisa Daftari, editor-in-chief of the Foreign Desk. Okay, Lisa, well, our two biggest enemies on the world stage got together and had a little powwow today. Why?
Because they can. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't invite Iran's regime to the mix, but they'll probably invite him at the next gathering. Because they can. That's the short of it, and that's the most important takeaway here, is that weak foreign policy has consequences. This is the image of the consequence of weak foreign policy. What China and Russia, and of course I will add Iran's regime, and you can add North Korea to the list as well, have decided is that they don't need the United States. that they will work around the sanctions, that they will work around the isolation, and they have each other. So we have effectively pushed them into each other's laps. They're working well together. And their most important, I would say, their priority is to really stick it to the Biden administration to let them know. So these optics are not accidental. They're getting together both militarily, they're working together economically, they are selling weapons to each other, and no accidents.
Lisa, I guess, how strong are they together? I know that's kind of a lame, open-ended question, but I want to know. If I'm looking at an Iran, Russia, China, North Korea alliance, I know North Korea is a bit of a turd, but do they together have enough to do some serious things? That sounds pretty formidable to me, but you know, I don't.
You know what? If you look at the very least, right, the minimum here is that they help each other get off the hook. So when we try to, for example, isolate Russia and try to punish them with economic sanctions because of what they're doing in Ukraine, while we give billions and billions of dollars and military equipment to the Ukrainians, what China does is let the Russians off the hook for that. What the Iran regime is doing is selling weapons to Russia then. So what they're basically doing is canceling out what the United States is hoping to do. So what ends up happening here is that we will not see the results we want to see in the Ukraine war. So at the very, very least, we've wasted all this money by putting it into Ukraine and providing them with aid while Russia is not getting the message. Look, sanctions always come with some sort of behavioral change that we can expect from the other party, right? So when we put the sanctions on Russia or on China or on Iran's regime or Venezuela or North Korea, it comes with that, we need you to do this, and then we will remove the sanctions because it's some sort of change that we expect and need in terms of national security and global security, etc. In the case of Russia, what we've done is put these sanctions on them, but they are either not well enforced or now being undone by the Chinese and Iran's regime, who are then stepping in to fill that void. What we could effectively have done is to put sanctions on our enemies and then enforce them properly so that they are not able to move around them and evade them the way that our enemies have been able to do.
Lisa, okay, something that got overlooked is Iran and Saudi Arabia, China brokering a deal with them. Now, I would be lying if I told you I was an expert, but I do know enough to know those two, oftentimes for religious reasons, have been at each other's throats for a long time. Is this something that we should be concerned about?
Absolutely. You know, this is it was a very concerning piece of news, right? We were actually all the people who are studying this region had all eyes on Saudi Arabia. We thought the next news out of Saudi Arabia would be that they are adding themselves on to the Abraham Accords and normalizing relations with Israel, because that was the way that the Saudis were headed. And why do I say that? Not because they have fallen in love with Zionism and Israel, but because the enemy of my enemy, being Iran's regime, is my friend. So if they are both trying to combat the growth of Iran's regime in the region, which they are, well, the Saudis and the Israelis have much to do to work together, and they have met in recent months to normalize relations. Then what happened overnight to cause the Saudis to move over and try and normalize relations with Iran's regime? Well, the Chinese really sweetened the deal. What the Chinese were able to do is to step in, which would have been the role of the United States, make the United States look completely irrelevant in the Middle East, and say, look, I know Saudi Arabia and Iran, I know you guys are not buddies by any means. For 40 years plus, you guys have been rivals in the region, one being Sunni, one being Shiite. It doesn't mean you have to be best friends, but right now it behooves both of you to have economic opportunity to cooperate with one another. And me, being China, I will be the godfather. I will bless you both equally. So come to the table. And that's exactly what Saudi Arabia did. Saudi Arabia is looking for opportunity, and they have gotten plenty of opportunity by becoming closer to China. And now through this deal, will have opened up themselves to potential with Iran as well. Again, biggest loser in this deal was the United States. It was a big stain on our foreign policy and a big message to the White House. And the biggest winner on the opposite side was Iran's regime. completely let them off the hook economically. For 6 months, the people of Iran have been on the streets protesting. That is the Achilles heel of this regime, to have so much chaos on the streets and so much disenchantment among the people. Of course, there are sanctions on them. There's a lot of scrutiny on the and a lot of international attention on Iran's regime for these protests, for the brutal way that they have been cracking down on these protests. But they just got themselves another lifeline through this deal.
Lisa, I appreciate you. Come back soon.
Thank you.
All right. We got light in the mood next. We need that after that, right? That was a lot. And before we get to that, let us get to our dog. Your dog. My dog. It is weird when you think about it. And this is information that I was not aware of. A year ago, I didn't know about this. I didn't know that dog food is dead. There's nothing in it. There's no nutrition for your dog. Your dog only eats it because they put crap on it after it's already done, like lard and just something to make it smell good. He's not getting the vitamins and minerals he needs. He's not getting digestive enzymes, probiotics. Your dog isn't getting these things, ever. Think how much longer your dog will live if you were to start giving them that. Think how often you won't have to go to the vet. That's still not the way to put that. But if you start giving your dog real nutrition, that's Rough Greens. That's Rough Greens. Pour some on their food. It's just a nutritional supplement. Your dog is going to love it. And your dog is going to be happier and healthier and be around longer. They have free Jumpstart trial bags right now. So you can see what I'm talking about. Free. You will see a difference in your dog. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse, all right? roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back. So I'm going to read you something as we get into, well, before we get into Light in the Mood, I'm going to read you a little something. It's just a headline. I don't really have any reasoning behind it. I just thought it might be something that you should know about. The headline is Gold tops $2,000 to reach an 11-month high. So who was that guy, especially for the last 2 weeks, who's been telling you to get some in your possession? And if you had listened to that guy then, you'd be sitting even prettier now. Now, do you think you should listen to me now as we go into whatever financial abyss that we're about to go into? Now is the time to call Oxford Gold Group. They will deliver real gold and silver coins to your front door. They will get gold and silver into your 401k and IRA. So no matter what happens with these nutballs in the market, you will have some value. It prevents you from losing it all. We all need that kind of protection right now, don't you think? Call 833-995-GOLD. These are wonderful people, man. These are my people. They'll take care of you, I promise. 833-995-GOLD, Oxford Gold Group. Right about now is the time to call, all right? Now, NCAA tournament, March Madness is going on. And Vice President Dome, she went to Howard. So she showed up at the game to pretend she knew something about basketball.
You played hard. You played to the very last second. You made all us Bison so, so proud. You hustled out there. You are smart. You are disciplined. You put everything you had into the game. And you know, that's what it's about, right? Until the last minute, you guys did that. You didn't stop until the last second. You did not stop. And that is so inspiring. So you keep playing with chin up and shoulders back. Because you showed the world who Bison are. Right? I mean, you literally, what you have done is in historic proportion. You know, I was at Howard back in the day where we were just happy that there was a game. Much less getting to this place. Right? You are hard work. You are powerful. And you are winners. All right? So please know that. Please know that, and I'll see you later.
She's never seen a game in her life, and she didn't watch that one either. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.